know. I'm so happy to be in Texas. I know. And I already have a bit of a twang. And so that's really fun. And so my older daughter was left me a message, a voice message when I woke up, which was really sweet. Mama, I know you're in Texas. And I'm already praying because I know you're going to start talking about, I used to have a dance studio called Bright Lights. And so she said, I just know you're going to call me later on and go, honey, I just had the best time in Texas. And I'm fixing to give my message. So I just love you. And I really, I think my personality, it belongs here in Texas. I do. I love being here with you. So thank you. It is an honor and a privilege to be standing here. It is not something I anticipated ever happening again in my life, and that is a different story for a different day. But I am most grateful to be able to be here and share God's love for you, because it is bigger than Texas. And so last night when I walked into this room, after a very long day of travel, and I just walked into the room, and I literally gasped. I was like, I mean, I expected pretty, but I didn't expect 5-star Texas pretty. And I should have, but it took my breath away for two very important reasons. One being that it is so beautiful. Yes? Yes. And second, because there was this buzz in the air, this and I just stood there and I let it soak into my spirit as I watched the hostesses preparing a table to set before you. Does that resonate?
Yeah.
Yes? Yes, a little Psalm 23. I will set a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Yes, I have a whole new teaching coming out. 4:30 this morning, it was like boom, 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 boom. It's like, oh, okay. That's something, that hum, that buzz, is what I have come to call spiritual unity. That's what it is. Girls, this is us at our best. This is women at their best. So I stood there soaking it all in. And then I said, I almost walked away from this. What if I had walked away? What if I had walked away? Oh my goodness. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. Such limitless love that you pursue us and see us in our darkest hour. Because he saw this and I didn't see it. And there are things in your life today that I know you're going, he does not see me. He does not hear me. My words are falling on deaf ear. No, sweet new friend from Texas. Look in my face. He sees you. He hears you. He might be silent, but that silence is going to push you straight into a deeper intimacy with God. That is so powerful. Whoa. Whoa. So several years ago, I experienced this deep wound from a fellow sister, a fellow leader in ministry. And I was not planning to share, but I share it because I believe someone needs to hear it. And it took the shape of hurtful words and actions. They weren't the first hurtful words in my life, obviously. I was 50-ish at the time, and by that point, there had been many hurtful words and actions, as we all have experienced, correct? And so, but they were quite possibly the hardest hurtful words because they came from someone that I deeply loved and deeply respected and I trusted. And so I was blindsided and definitely tossed into a season of grief. Not anger, not depression was part of it, but as I identified it, it was grief. It was grief over the way we treat one another. And to have it happen in the body was more than I could bear. But God asked me to bear it. He asked me to take this on. And I did. And here is my vulnerable spot. And there is my story. After I entered this season of grief, I'll tell you what I was grieving over specifically, because it is a very important part of why we're here today. Grief over broken, unhealthy behavior patterns in my own heart and in the heart of women. The grief led me, as I said, to serious soul searching, even more serious Bible study and prayer, which ultimately has led me to a profound new understanding of the redemptive power of God in our lives, and even more so, a passion for this. Yeah! Yes! This right here, this effervescence, this spiritual unity, this is what God created us for. This. Because this, goes out into your homes, into your families, into your communities, and most of all, into your legacy, your lineage. Oh, goodness. So this new book was born in that space. Daphne prayed me through quite a bit of it. And today we gather around these lavish tables. This is the aha this morning. In this, what I call indomitable. It's a big word for pow. Pow. I watched Wonder Woman on the plane. So empowered. I was like, yes. Yes. Oh, so good. If you haven't seen it, it's so good. Okay. I mean, so anyway, I know my neighbors are probably, oh. But that remarkable pow and this vision today, and if you allow me just 1 second to take a picture of this glorious scene. It's what Song of Solomon in 2:4 talks about. It says, he has brought me to this banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. Have you ever sang that? And his banner over me is love. Oh, love that. It is absolutely incredible when you take apart that scripture. Banqueting in the Hebrew, yayin, means, and this was one of those, effervescence. I was already going to talk about effervescence. And then I see that banqueting, it really means imbibing, like with good wine and food and eat, drink, and be merry. But in its deepest root, it means effervescence, X meaning out and up, and fervescere meaning begin to boil. What? Boil. Go boil in your homes and your communities. Just boil. Isn't that another way of saying on fire? Isn't it? I am boiling hot, man. I love it. So we gather today for one unified purpose: to understand the power of a woman's greatest gift. I am 100,000,000% convinced. And I'm going to go to see Jesus doing this the rest of my life, that when we gather in a spirit of pow, great movements happen. Now, does that mean we will be perfect? Anyone? No. But it means we'll be mature. It means we'll be mature. So, today we gather a woman's greatest gift. What might that be? I want you to go ahead and guess. Go ahead and move you up. Keep going. Okay. Here are some clues. This gift creates a safe space in which everyone feels loved and accepted. One of our deepest needs is to belong. It is truly our deepest need in life. And that is why a community of faith is so essential. Because there are many on the fringes who have nowhere where they belong, and they are lost. This gift permeates a room and fills the air, right, with effervescence. And you can be introverted, here's a little side note, and still evoke effervescence. You can. That's astounding, and it's so good. This gift is a safe harbor for other hearts to rest in. Don't we know those people where we just sit down and go, oh, I just feel safe. I don't know about you, but that's so important to me in my life, that I know I can trust you and that I'm safe. This gift shines light in the darkest of places. The darkest. Any guesses? I will take guesses. Say it loud. God is a woman's greatest gift. Yes. Love. Oh. Friendship. Faith. Strength. Sugar and spice and everything nice. I know. Yes. It's the spice part we're working on. Servanthood. That would be kind of going along with humility, maybe, right? Nurture. It's actually one of my favorite words. Quiet. Okay. All right, keep your guesses. We're going to get back to them. So we are in a season of gift giving, aren't we? We are in a season. So a gift is two things, and I really want us to understand, I like to know the words within the words, so I'm kind of a word geek, so indulge me on this. But first and foremost, the root of gift is Nordic, and it's related to give. Okay, I think we all can agree we know that. It's a thing given willingly to someone without payment. It can be a present. Okay, but when you get into the word, within the words within the word of present, it means being at hand. So that would be, I'm present here. Not really present, but see how they do this? You're tracking with me, I love it. You're like, I got it, I'm good. So the gift of being a woman then is something that God obviously thought was very important. Because in Genesis, what did he do? It's not good. It's not good for the man to be alone. I have an idea. I have a really good idea. In fact, it's very good. So he decided, wouldn't you love to be there in that moment? Oh. And then even in our world, in our culture, there are so many things that are said about women that are so great and positive, but one of my favorites is by the great Harriet Beecher Stowe. She was a... Women are the real architects of society. Now, I really want you to think about your power. The power that God invested in you when he breathed his eternal being into yours. That was not a ho-hum idea. It was, I don't think we can even imagine beyond our wildest dreams. So gifts come in all shapes and sizes. You can do the next slide. Thank you. Go back a couple. Okay, I know what happened. Next one. Don't worry about it. That's the old PowerPoint. But gifts come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? And I know you're all in the hum of figuring out what to get Aunt Sue and Aunt Joe and, you know, Daddy and Mom and, you know, especially Mom, and, you know, you're trying to pick out these perfect gifts. But today we're talking about the gift of being at hand. And what does that mean? So gifts in this sense can mean talents, right? Flair, aptitude, facility. I love that word. Knack. I think we see a lot of knack demonstrated here, don't we? A lot of knack. I just loved it. I'm like, that's on there. Knack. I'm going to be like, I'm the queen of knack. Just love that. Bent, ability, experience. My most favorite word, and I'm going to say that again. Capacity. Do you know that capacity means the maximum amount something can hold? Has anyone in here reached their maximum capacity? No! But I think that many of us settle short. We do. We settle. Because sometimes reaching that maximum capacity is hard. And we want to say, I'm good. In fact, I'm really good. I like my cozy lazy boy chair in my house. And my daughter calls it the black hole. And she'll go, Mama, you need to have a black hole. And I'm like, I know, but it's so comfy. Capability, faculty, endowment, strength, genius, brilliance, skill, artistry. This room is filled with gift, with gifts and gifting. But there is nothing more valuable, because no amount of physical beauty will ever be as valuable as a beautiful heart. I'm sad that was written by Anonymous. Because Anonymous rocked. There's nothing more important in all of the world than this gift we're going to talk about. Proverbs, the wise proverbial phrase, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your affections, for they influence everything in your life. Above all else. Write those three words everywhere. From this day forward, I want you to hear this Virginian in your ear. Above all else. When you are in the middle of the... Go above all else. Take a breath. Slow down. World world's going to go on without you. Well, not really, but you know what I mean. There's no one like you. There's nothing more vital. There you go. Matthew brings us these words in Matthew 6, probably very familiar to you. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I hope this is reminding you of this very important gift. For there, within that heart, Matthew finishes, your heart, your wishes, your desires, and I was just talking to a beautiful young woman about her desires, two of you this morning, that on which your life centers will be also. So, a woman's greatest gift then is her heart. That's my feeling. And heart can equate with presence. So for me, the woman's greatest gift is her heart, because I feel like, honestly, we're all just big walking hearts. And my journey has transformed my vision in that when I meet you, I see your heart. It's like just such a beautiful thing to go, Father, help me look beyond the external. But we look at it, don't we? But when we focus on that, then what happens? Okay, we're going to get to that in just a second. So I just want to propose to you this morning, in this short amount of time, that our greatest gift that we have in this life that God has planted our feet in is our heart. And oh, how often we forget, and we do not, above all else, guard it. We don't. In fact, we neglect it. I might be the only one in the room who neglected that, but I don't think that I am. So your heart had its very own beginning, didn't it? It was shaped by those, many of you are mothers in the room, most important relationship ever. I've done so much study in my master's work and so much studies beyond that. And the most critical relationship is that of your mother. I pray that all of you had the most remarkable mother, but I know that you didn't, some of you. And I understand that. I understand that oh too well. So we don't have to live very long then before our hearts get what? Right? It doesn't, walk around with a toddler. Just walk around. Their heart's broken 1,500 times a day, And then your heart's broken as well, But we just don't have to, live long before our tender hearts get broken. And they get broken by unhealthy behaviors. So what I did during this period of grief and this period of soul searching was just got very, very simple and concise in going, that's healthy and that's unhealthy. There's no in between. I just thought, I see client after client after client, and I thought, there is just so much out there, and there are so many broken people and broken hearts. But I was like, okay, let's just simplify this. That's not healthy. And this is healthy. There's no gray area. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Choose you this day. Will you choose death or will you choose life? So now I say, Janelle, are you going to choose healthy right now when your husband is really driving you crazy? Because I don't drive him crazy, but... Or am I going to choose... Did I say unhealthy? I don't remember. Healthy. Okay. Unhealthy. Am I going to choose unhealthy or am I going to choose healthy? Which is it? And so there is this space in life. The great Viktor Frankl, he was an Austrian psychiatrist and brilliant man. And he said this, you may be familiar. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power, which we can only get through the power of the cross. I like to add that. In that, I call it sacred space as well, is our power to choose our response. In our response, then, lies our growth and our freedom. So I expanded that quite a bit in Overcoming Hurtful Words, because when I look back on that very hurtful experience where this woman's words and her nonverbal cues, which are really 85% of our conversations, her actions, when I look back on that, I get so frustrated with myself. I'm like, you're smart. Do you know, Raritan, you're a smart woman. Why'd you let her do that to you? Man. And it made me so mad, I just had to deal with it. And it was so unhealthy. My reaction, my response was unhealthy. And so it became less and less and less about her and more and more and more about me. And that I needed healthy tools, healthy behaviors, and healthy communication skills, and most of all, a healthy sense of self. I call that the threefold cord of our God-created capacity. Amen. Because when I have that, and you have an identity master here in this beautiful church, when we know whose we are, I belong to God, it says in Solomon, and he belongs to me. That's called secure attachment in the counseling and psychiatric world of things. When you have that, now I would be like, no, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. I might. No. I wouldn't hear for sure. But I would say, oh, no, I would do this. Oh, no, 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 no. No, that's not acceptable. Because you understand, you do not have permission to talk to me that way. And I would say it in grace and in love, probably shock. But the idea is to get so trained. I have a five-step plan called WHOLE. And you practice it in your head and in your mind and in your life. That when I am blindsided by someone, because I'm sure, oh, God's grace, it will happen again. I will say, no, 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 no. No, you don't seem to understand that you do not have permission to speak to me in that tone or with these postures. I love you so much, but when you can speak to me, because you see, I have value, worth, and dignity, so when you speak to me in a manner in which I can actually hear you, then we can have a two-way conversation. That, to me, is authentic love. That, to me, is the spiritual maturity that will lead to spiritual unity, because you know what? We're human beings, and this mouth is gonna get you in trouble and me in trouble. I talk a lot. And you know, the proverb says, where there's many words, there's sin. I have gotten much quieter, which is amazing. I really have. My family loves it. Mom, where did Mom go? Mom is healthy. I mean, I'm not kidding. They're like, where did you go? I'm like, I just went to Healthy. Isn't it amazing? And so my whole family, though, three adult children, we are all becoming healthier and healthier. My marriage, it's amazing to me. And so would you mind going back to the unhealthy heart real quick? So these unhealthy behaviors, I'm not sure, but in the book, when you first look at it, usually one thing goes like that. So we don't have time today to really talk over that. But what happens to our tender heart is not only do our own unhealthy behaviors that many of us absorbed in our family of origin, right? I grew up in an alcoholic home. So I absorbed codependency. I absorbed a lot of things. I didn't ask for it. And yet, I have to deal with it. But thankfully, the redeeming power of God helps us, and this helps us. Yes? This effervescence. Yes. Goes, Janelle, just be you. Relax. Calm down. You do not have to save the world. I love you when you're falling apart. It's okay. I mean, literally through the season, I was in a meeting at my church, and I got up from the meeting, and I knew I shouldn't have gone because I wasn't really in a good, healthy place. I got up with a hot tea in my hand, tripped over the rug. The whole hot tea went all over the room, and I just started to sob because I was such a little hot mess. And this beautiful woman named Christine, who I love dearly, came and literally swept me up, took me in a room, sat me down, and said, okay. I got you. I got you. I literally have you. And I said, oh, 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 you know, I just made a fool of myself. Oh, oh, oh. Shh, calm down. It's all good. You know, sometimes it looks like that. I want to give you that because I don't want us to think that we are about perfection. And we're also not about, how are you doing? You want to hear how I'm doing? Let me tell you, when I hear those words, I go, oh dear. So there is a beautiful way of learning how to have these healthy conversations where we can all grow to spiritual maturity. Very important. So here are some of those unhealthy, broken post-fall, right, things that either we have absorbed from others or that we now present to others. So today we're going to think about that space, that sacred space where we go, I have a choice. Okay, I didn't know how to do that, so hence I got lots of tools and put them down on paper for me, and I think they will help you as well, because you have to practice it. That's why the book is based on 9 practices. And then the next book next year is 9 tools. So I really want you to have them both right now, but I can't. But as you see these things, I mean, how many of you maybe have ever heard, you know, I come from a family of worriers. My grandma was a worrier, and my mama is a worrier. So it's just in my DNA to be, I'm talking like that. It's just in my DNA to be a worrier. I don't know. But that isn't true. And I'll tell you why. Because, next slide. Because in Genesis 2:7, let's go back to that moment when God decided it was time. What is your first name? He said, it's time for, I wonder if he did this. It's time for Lisa. I am going to make her something. And he just went, oh, look at her. Not just look at her, isn't she darling? Okay. So we're not left hopeless. We're not left without the promise that even no matter what this life you've lived has brought your way, today's a new day. Today is your day. It is no ordinary day. So I want to do this exercise because we do have time. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Please don't fall asleep. But you know, if you do, you need a rest, so it's all good. The beautiful thing is that we can go back to our Genesis 2:7 beginning, and we can start new. So picture this. Picture a beautiful, luscious garden. The colors are mesmerizing. Deer are drinking from a crystal river. Lions lie with lambs. Deer are drinking from a crystal river. There's a peace in the air that feels unusual yet comforting. Gently, with grand intention, God bends down and picks up a handful of life-giving, effervescent, heart-lifting Eden dust. Smiling, he closes his eyes. His mind fills with passion and purpose and potential and endless possibilities for what is about to happen. He lifts his hand and he quiets everything around him. A holy hush comes upon heaven. Silence settles in like a soft summer rain. Then he inhales, he takes his God-sized, Texas-sized deep breath, and exhales the excellence of his being into your being. That breath of life imbues your distinct inner and outer character qualities, your gifts, your knack, your talents, your purpose, your passion, and it gives you a God-created capacity for affecting your sphere of influence with passion and greatness. This God-sized deep breath enables you to move through all the ups and downs and all-arounds of life as an overcomer. When you need strength, my daughter, remember this breath. When you need courage, remember this breath. When you need love, remember this breath. When you need joy, remember this breath. God's creative work with you is now finished. Waves of laughter and joy swell as all of Eden rejoices over your life. Hear now all heaven say, well, look at her. Look at her beautiful smile. She is full of potential. God outdid himself today. Oh, you feel so welcome. You feel so loved, so valued, so peaceful. God speaks his blessing over you, his highly valued child, and then with a heavenly embrace, he sends you off into the world to fulfill your God-breathed destiny. You see, you can open your eyes. The exercise continues in the book where hopefully you can either read this with a friend, you can read it with a group of women again, or it is on an audio that I taped for you, and it'll be on the website. That is just so lovely. And you can just listen to it. I love to take people to this pier by my house that is just so long, and it's over the James River, historic Jamestown, some of you may have been there. But we'll go there and we'll sit and I'll read that over them. And you will hear whispers, I promise. You will hear, you'll go, oh, like I heard, she's got bright flaming red hair. She's going to stand out and be gawky and just stay. She's not going to be able to walk in a room without that bright red hair coming before her. She's going to be really loud and boy, is she going to have rhythm. She's going to be able to tap dance like nobody's business. She is going to be soft and tender and empathic. And she's going to take the weight of the world on her shoulders. But I've given her a capacity of resilience. And I've given her, you're going to hear that. And I'm telling you, it is so life altering. It's like coming out of the womb again and it's precious. So I hope that you can experience that. So I want to leave you. Hopefully you might have heard whispers then. I'm not sure. Maybe that was just a prep. Because what happens is you have to get what? Silent. I don't know about you, but I don't do silence well. I actually started practicing silence at 38 and I'm now 58. And it's still not easy. And it's not like my mama in her assisted living goes, I've got nothing but silence. And I'm like, no, it's not that kind of silence. It's a silence that's imbued with the presence and spirit of God. So I just say, if you don't like to do that, set a timer for 10 seconds, for 20 seconds, for 30 seconds, until you work your way up to 30 minutes, because in Revelations 8:1, it says all of heaven was silent for 30 minutes. And I said, if that's what God, if that was good for God, that's good for me, 30 minutes. Right? I mean, it says it. I'm not lying. It's the truth. So go ahead on with the next slide. So this gift, keep going. Yes, right there. So here's where we realize and we remember, and I want to leave with you today, that your heart is your greatest gift. And if we could see, like in the spirit, all walking hearts, you know, I'd have some sequins on it. You know, some of you might not have that sequins. You're just a little, you know, like the conservative look or, you know, but we all are different. We all have different potential and capacity within us, but we're all walking hearts. So when we look at each other and we have that in our mind, I wonder how our heart's doing today. That's typically what I ask people now. How's your heart today? You doing okay? I don't need the whole story, but I mean, I just, because we don't, I overshare all the time, so it's a personal thing. And if you've met me already, I overshare a lot, so I'm working on that. Like, I even stop myself and go, Janelle, you're oversharing. You're oversharing. Everyone does not need to know all of that. So what we want to remember this Christmas, when we leave this space, the sacred space that this banqueting table has been set before us, and you leave here and you go back into your space, which may not be quite so sacred, definitely might be very rushed. You might go into your schools. We have precious young girls here today. You may go into this space, and the space is not so kind. But God wants to enable you to be in that space and to allow your heart to become its most beautiful self, even in that space. Daniel says this, it is my life verse for sure. Those who are wise. That means a mature heart who in that response time, in that little space goes, I mean, it's that quick, right? We know. Healthy. Healthy. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness will what? Like the stars, they will shine in the firmament forever and ever and ever. I want to shine. Oh my goodness. Oh, look. So let's just look at that real quick as we close. Radiance, next slide. Radiance means full of light. Oh, this is a whole nother story in a teaching that I would love to get into. But we will continue with Matthew 6. We read earlier. The eye of the lamp of the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if the eye is clear, spiritually perceptive is what that means. I still got that. Your whole body will be full of light, benefiting from God's precepts. But if your eye is bad, spiritually blind, your whole body will be full of darkness, which means devoid of God's precepts. We don't have that here. We are going to be full of God. Remember, he sees you. He hears you. He's with you. And he is going to say to you this. It won't last forever. Oh, please hear my heart. So I just thought I was going to be just miserable forever. I just thought it was never. I just didn't have any. The hope was almost down. The extinguishing flame. But he is there. And if I can call back to you in any way, that's it. I don't care where this life takes you. He is there. He sees you. He cares. He loves you. Last slide. So let your heart shine like stars. Just five quick little things that I want you to leave with today is that your heart, man, make that healthy emotional space in your life. Please, if you need help, get help. Please, be empathic. One thing suffering does for you is makes you be able to go, boy, I get it. And what I've learned with that is I don't have to share my story. When people are hurting, they need to tell you their story. I can go, I understand. And in a later date, if you need more, I'll give it to you. But trust me, I get it. I hear you. I see you. You have value, worth, and dignity, and I'm praying for you. Okay? Be aware of your God-breathed value, worth, and dignity. I've got my husband saying it. He went into a ping pong night where he has a group of ping pongs and was blasted by a man at a ping pong party. He left the house and he came home in like 10 minutes and he's usually gone like 4 hours and he was gray. And I mean, I have a rock solid husband. And I said, what? And I was in the middle of writing this book, my poor family. And I said, what on earth? He goes, you're not going to believe it. I mean, you're just not going to believe it. I said, well, God, tell me. He said, this man just blasted me. I don't like you. I've never liked you. I can't, I mean, ripped him apart. And my husband, he said, do you know what my first thought was? I thought, oh, I'm not sure. I want to know. He said, those were hurtful words. And he's not allowed to talk to me that way. I was like, I'm so sorry that happened, but that's awesome. This means this works. So it does work. And he handled it so well. I mean, it was just brilliant. I was like, hallelujah, it works. Okay. You've got to remember that. Your value, your worth, and your dignity. Remember this. Oh, man, look at her. Man, I outdid myself. Man, I got to sharpen here and there, but she's awesome. Make sure you're rested. That you rest actually means anapaiayo, which means to collect strength. That's good. I have a whole teaching on it. You can get it. To collect strength, to put it inside your soul, because life's going to get hard. It's going to get hard, and you've got to learn. Now, I used to think rest was I'm going to go get a pedicure or a massage or I'm going to go shopping or I'm going to go lay on the beach. No. Rest is different than that. Collect strength. Those are all good things, and I do them all. But collect spiritual strength. Riding my red Huffy, my bike. My pants are falling down, sorry. Just with the wind in my hair. Got a little bell. I have a heart lift on a little tag on the back. It's awesome. So that's how I collect strength. It can be that practical. I love to bake. And then be teachable, please. Whole chapter on teachable. You've got to be teachable. You've got to listen to your elders. And we have to listen to our young, our youth. Okay, so can I pray? Can I pray for your hearts? Thank you for the privilege and the honor to be here with you today. I am going to have you in my heart. I'm taking you home with me. And would love to connect. So, Father God, we thank you that we are all big walking hearts. And that you actually carry our hearts. I don't know how you do it. I do not know how you take care of all of our hearts. It's astounding. But you do.
Oh, Lord, I pray that this will be the most remarkable Christmas that all of us have ever had, because we're committed to being healthy and mature and committed to putting light and love in our hearts. And Father, when we each do that individually, wow, and then we gather corporately, watch out. Watch out. You will be in the midst of us, and great movements will happen. Thank you for the privilege of being your child. May we honor you with our words and the meditations of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.